Hello and welcome to the podcast portion of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, previews, reviews, and interviews with baseball authors, artists, filmmakers, musicians, anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture. Because that's our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. If I had the wherewithal, I think I'd be doing something like John Leonardakis' streaming TV show, The Sweet Spot. I mean, he interviews people, I interview people, but as the saying goes, show me, don't tell me. And as a veteran filmmaker, he's the man behind several well-crafted baseball documentaries. Not exactly Cooperstown, about the quirky baseball reliquary, The Day the World Series Stopped, which covers the earthquake series of 1989 between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's, and most recently, Haino, A Century in the Bleachers, a tribute to the veteran sports scribe Arnold Haino, author of the classic book, A Day in the Bleachers. I've enjoyed our previous conversations about his worth, both in the normal course of events, just to catch up, as well as specifically for the bookshelf. Here's the latest. John Leonardakis, welcome back to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Good to be with you again, Ron.
So you have... As if you don't have enough things that you've been doing, you have a new project called The Sweet Spot. Why don't you tell us what that's about?
Yes, its a formal name is The Sweet Spot, A Treasury of Baseball Stories. And really what it is, it's a new streaming television channel, as well as an original documentary anthology series of the same name. And we are, it's kind of a first of sorts in that my little micro studio, we're debuting this new baseball channel dedicated on baseball and really looking at the human side of the game. And right now we're currently on Vimeo On Demand. Very shortly we'll be on Roku, and shortly after that, Amazon Prime. So that's the project, and we're pretty excited about it.
So who are some of the guests that you've been having on? And these are not, I should say that this is very eclectic. It runs the gamut from Mark Ulrichsen, who is a marvelous artist. People will recognize his work from New Yorker Magazine. You have bat boys, you have musicians, you have baseball players. It's very eclectic. How do you go about finding your subjects?
Well, first of all, it was inspired by The Glory of Their Times. And Danny Perry's book, We Played the Game. But I really wanted to cast a wider net to capture the voices that weave the tapestry of baseball in America. And that meant taking a look at everybody that's part of baseball in the subculture, not just players and coaches, but also writers, fans, mascots, artists, musicians, really run the gamut. Because baseball is something so deep in the American psyche and the American experience, it's a huge field with which to mine remarkable stories that have really gone under the radar of mainstream media, and that's really what we're all about. And we're focusing on things like race, gender, art, literature, music, as well as war stories from players and coaches. And we'd like to think that this is a new look at America's oldest game. And to answer your question about how do I go about finding these stories, I read constantly, I am researching constantly. As you know, I've been doing this sort of thing for the last 6 years, so I've come across a lot of people in the baseball world, whether they be at conferences and they're sharing papers and stories, or they're just sharing anecdotes with me on the side. And I keep a record of all that stuff. I remember it all. And so once I began this particular project, I started to think about, well, who are the voices and stories we haven't really heard that much from? That would people, so many times when I'll share a story with someone, say, I never heard of that, I never knew that story, or I don't even like baseball, but I like that story. And that's really what it comes down to, is that these are stories that look touch on the human side of the game. Because ball players are people just like us. They have fears, they have problems, they have issues, and they have solutions to solve, just like all of us. And I think that we can learn a lot from these stories.
Now, one of the things I've noticed, I mean, your series sounds kind of like my podcast in the things that it covers, but obviously you're a visual person as opposed to I'm more of an audio person. I mean, I'd love to be doing the kind of stuff you do if I had the wherewithal to do that, but I imagine, you know, whereas we're talking, and I will work on this a little bit and then post it in the very near future, but your project takes much longer.
Yes, it does. And I hope this will be my job for the rest of my life. But I'm very fortunate in the sense that I have the training as a filmmaker. I went to film school. I've been a producer in Los Angeles for 30 years. I know a lot about guerrilla filmmaking. I own all my own equipment. As I mentioned earlier, I am a micro studio. I really know the documentary piece very, very well, having spent 5 years working on the music documentary, The Wrecking Crew. And so basically it's a two-man crew, myself and a camera person, and we go out and we do these interviews. We'll sit with somebody like Jim Mudcat Grant. We sat with Jim for almost two and a half hours, and it was just the history and the incredible human stories that he spun were remarkable. And from an interview such as that, you know, I can pull anywhere from 5 to 10 stories. And it bears repeating that this is a documentary series, which is to say, you know, we brought our cameras into these people's homes or their environments, and they shared stories with them, and I interviewed them, and it's like any other interview subject. We prepare for them. We've got a list of questions. We leave a little bit of room open for them to kind of expand on things. But I have gotten – this has been a remarkable journey. People have really opened up. People have gotten emotional. Of the 35 interviews, I'd say – almost 10% of them, people have started crying, talking about their love of the game and what it means to them.
Aside from Mudcat Grant, who talks about his relationship with John F. Kennedy, was there something that really stood out? You talk about emotional. Was there one that really stands out in your mind that you can talk about without giving too much away?
Yes. Well, one of the things I like to do with people is – at near the end of the interview, I put a brand new Major League Baseball in their hands, and I asked them a question. I said, when you hold that ball in your hands, what does your heart and soul say? And it's pretty riveting. You know, baseball in and of itself is it means so many things to people, and many times it ties back to, you know, a departed loved one they used to share the game with. Or they used to be a player, and baseball means so much to them. So men and women have been very touched when holding that baseball. And it's remarkable. It's almost cathartic. When they hold that ball in their hands, it's like they're holding this magical orb that goes right into their heart and soul. It's pretty amazing.
You talk about your experience as a documentarian. You've done 3 full-length documentaries, including most recently Hanno, A Century in the Bleachers, about the great writer Arnold Hanno. Why did you decide to go this route with streaming television?
Well, I wanted to be able to tell more stories over a longer period of time. When, you know, Hanno took me a year and a half to make, and the cost and expense and the time and so forth of making just one title, after doing 3 of them, I said, look, let's branch out. Let's try and do a bunch of stuff, cover a wide swath of subjects and people and interview them and get those stories out there. And so it's really an anthology of mini documentaries. And a very good friend of mine from college days, Kelly Holtzclaw, he and I would get together for lunch once a year, reminisce, see what's going on, and I would tell him what I was working on. He says, I don't even like baseball, but these stories you tell me, I think, are fascinating. Have you ever thought of taking your stuff and bringing it to the streaming media world? And that's where really this got started. And streaming media really is the future of home entertainment in many ways. That's why we got started with streaming media and kind of how the project got started and why I'm doing it in the manner that I'm doing it. I think being able to tell a lot of stories over a shorter period of time has many, many benefits, much more so than concentrating on just one subject over a long period of time.
And you're trying to make money doing this, aren't you?
That's right. This is a subscription-based piece, although if you have Roku, that's all advertising revenue-driven. So if you have a Roku box, and they run it between anywhere from 50 to 60, 70 bucks, you get it for free. And we make our money there through advertising revenue. On other sorts of venues, such as Vimeo On Demand or Amazon for Video, that will be a subscription fee, and it's $2.99 a month. And we think it's a great bargain because, like right now, we've got over 2 hours of content and for $2.99. And if you love baseball, It's a great way to enjoy the off season where, as you know, we're sort of in a dry gulch, and this is a great way to embrace the love of baseball that's out of our lives until next April. And there's new content every month. We're going to be doing we're focusing on literature next month, and Arnold Haino will be one of our featured writers. Following that, in February, we're going to be focusing on race. And Mudcat Grant tells an amazing story of how he protested in a manner of singing the national anthem in 1960 and got into a fist fight with a pitching coach who called him on it. Mudcat would then be suspended for the rest of the year. But that was amazing to hear someone talk about that back in 1960, when this year we have Colin Kaepernick doing all of that. It was a very similar sort of thing. Here in Mudcat was really kind of protesting against the treatment of African Americans way back when. And we also had a very interesting discussion with Jim Campanis Sr. and Jim Campanis Jr. about how did their family handle Al Campanis' debacle on Nightline with those racist comments. I mean, everybody knows about those comments, but put yourself in that family's shoes. And they're a baseball family. How do you handle that? I think that's a very intriguing story, and they were brutally honest about how they handled it.
Well, let me interrupt you just for 1 second, because I don't think everybody knows about it. Could you just briefly tell us what happened on that episode of Nightline?
Yes. Al Campanis was being interviewed, and I think the reason they were talking with him was they were kind of celebrating Jackie Robinson, breaking the color line in baseball. Yeah, and Al Campanis kind of went on to make these very, seemingly very racist remarks, saying that blacks lacked the necessities to be managers. There were comments about blacks lacking buoyancy to be good swimmers. It was terrible, terrible stuff. And of course, it cost him his job. And Al Campanis was kind of one of the storied gentlemen of baseball. He helped develop the Dodger way of baseball. And many people don't realize it, but when Jackie Robinson was put into the Dodger organization, Al Campanis taught him how to play second base, and they were good friends. So there's a bitter irony involved in all of this. And one of the interesting things that came out of that discussion was when that hit the public, Maury Wills and Dusty Baker called the Campanis household and said, "This is not who he is. Do you want me to come to your house and answer the phone and talk to people?" Yes. So that's kind of the story within the story that people don't really know about. And, of course, it's a hair-trigger moment in the history of baseball.
Mm-hmm. So what are your plans? Let me backtrack a second. You're based on the West Coast. Yeah. Are most of your subjects similarly based there? Or do you travel for your stories?
Well, for the time being, California is a big state. So I've traveled around California currently just in order to keep costs down while we're getting off the ground. So I've traveled.
Because, again, I can do a podcast by getting on the phone talking to anybody anywhere.
You bet.
But when you're doing a project such as yours, you can't do that.
That's right. And I think part of the value of being there in person with someone is it's an intimate conversation. I don't consider these interviews when I go and meet with people like the Mudcat Grants and the Mark Ulrichsons and so forth. These are conversations. And I think that's part of the magic of how you are able to derive wonderful stories from people. So, yes, we go on the road. We've gone up and interviewed people in the San Francisco Bay Area, done a number of people here in the Los Angeles area. I want to get out to Florida. There's a lot of retired ball players there and people involved in the baseball game there, as well as places like Arizona, out to the Midwest. I'd love to get out to Iowa and talk to Don Larson. You know, oral histories are really very, very important to our culture and our history, and that's a big part of what we're doing here. We're preserving baseball history, we're celebrating a love of the game, and then ultimately sharing stories that transcend sport.
And if people want to find out more about your project, where should they go?
They can go to our website, which is thesweetspot.tv, and they can also go to Vimeo On Demand and search for us there. It's $2.99 a month. But, yeah, that's it. That's www.thesweetspot.tv.
All right. Well, John Leonidakis, thank you very much for talking with us today. Great luck on your project, and all the best in the coming year.
Thank you, Ron.
And that was our Baseball Bookshelf conversation with John Leonidakis. Well, that about wraps it up for another exciting year on the Baseball Bookshelf Conversation Line. Tune in again next year where we'll have another assortment of authors and musicians and filmmakers talking about the game we all love. In the meantime, please remember to visit Ron Kaplan's BaseballBookshelf.com for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews on baseball books and what have you. And remember, if you have any questions or comments, please send them to me at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a great holiday. Pitching that fader so grand, he'd have said, "Boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Gee, it's a